Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we're down to the conclusion of the Kingdom of Heaven parables. And I don't want to pass on quickly here because there's something that really needs to be driven home. We've touched on it. But this morning, let us spend a few moments to amplify the matter. And it's found in verse number 51 and following. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse number 51. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, inasmuch as they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James, and Joses, and Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. Now Jesus has just finished teaching the disciples very carefully the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, of what sort was the teaching on the kingdom of heaven? Would that have been something new to them, or would that have been something old to them? Sure. And can you think of another parable that also expresses much of the teaching that Jesus did during his earthly ministry? Yeah, but that's one of the kingdom of heaven parables. I'm talking about something else where the parable would have been concerning the compatibility of the new and the old. Sure. That's right. You can't take new wine and put it in old vessels, because if you do, what will happen? The bottles will burst and you'll suffer a loss. So there's something old and something new. And yet he says here in verse number 52, Every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. So let's see if we can figure out how to harmonize those two scriptures or those teachings of Jesus. And before we do that, let's make sure that we understand that verse number 51 precedes verse number 52. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. What's he doing here? Give you a chance to roll around in your minds the harmonization of the scriptures. Okay.
Don't put the new wine seems like the limitations, the limited form of the old law.
Okay, that's good imagery. That's good imagery. That's excellent. But before we talk about what the particulars of that might be, let's take a look at verse number 51. Jesus said unto them, "Have you understood all these things?" Do you suppose that this is the first time that Jesus would have asked such a question of his disciples? Is everything that Jesus did or said recorded in the Synoptic Gospels? And dare we use the word new? Where do we first find mention of the kingdom of heaven parables in all the Word of God? Maybe Isaiah? Jeremiah for sure. Habakkuk? He does. One of the scriptures that we studied was lifted directly from Isaiah by our Lord and given its primary application. We just ran into that again when they were all offended at his teaching. But we'll take that in just a moment. Do you suppose that Jesus had a particular teaching style? What is the Socratic method? No, it's not the hemlock method. It's something else. It does. It's what we would call in the computer age interactive learning. Interactive learning. Pardon? Well, yes, and I'm sure some people wonder why we take so much time to pursue this course of teaching. It's very valuable, and it certainly isn't anything original with us, is it? Well, it wasn't original with Socrates either. What is that style of teaching called when it pertains to spiritual matters? It has a name, and Baptists really don't like the name because it's associated with something that they don't like. Although if they're smart, they'd like it better than some other things they like today. That's kind of a theological term. This is a term that a little kid would know if he goes to a certain kind of communion. That's it, a catechism. And what is a catechism? Some of us must have gone to catechism. And we're not trying to smoke anybody out here, but we do want to know what a catechism is because it's a very valid thing that has precedent in the scriptures. That's exactly what Jesus is doing here, is catechizing his catechumens. What does the word disciple mean? Mathetes? It means a learner or a student, and these are disciples, and they're being taught by the master using a certain method. And this method is catechism. And what is a catechism? If some of you have been to catechism, what is it? What style of teaching is used? We're not talking about the material, we're talking about the method. It's question and answer. Something is put forth, and then a response is expected. Is it different than conning something by rote? You know, some communions would call catechism catechism, but it really isn't true catechism. They're learning to formulate a list of doctrines and conning them by rote to where they have them memorized. And the teacher will say something and then they're expected to say something back. And they have to remember what they're supposed to say back and possibly not even know what it means. Yes, regurgitate information. Well, what does the term regurgitate suggest to you? No, that suggests something else, but you didn't know we were going to have this much fun at catechism this morning, did you? See what happens when you start too early? Yes, actually regurgitation means that digestion didn't take place, doesn't it? Certainly. Are we to digest what we learn? So do you think that a catechism should be where the teacher throws something out, dangles the bait, and the students are supposed to come back with a rote answer? That really isn't a catechism, is it? Do you think that we do that sometimes in Baptist churches? The Amen Corner knows exactly when to say Amen, don't they? Amen. Yeah, around here, I get discouraged and I gotta keep saying, say Amen, somebody! What's the idea of teaching? Exactly. It's that something might be learned. So the idea of asking a question to which the students have studied the answer all week and regurgitate a rote answer to the question, would that imply that the student necessarily knows what he's saying or what the answer means? Doesn't mean that at all, does it? He may have the right answers, so when the bishop shows up in town and starts checking up, starts going in and asking the students a bunch of questions, and they're not regurgitating the right answers, he might want to talk to the priest. Why are the Mormons recruiting Baptists at a higher rate than they are Catholics, according to their own testimony? Did you ever think about that? They like to make that boast. We are able to take into our fold more Baptists than practically anybody else. How could that be? Pardon? They don't know the Scriptures. They don't know the Scriptures. Are we supposed to know the Scriptures? What does the Scripture say that we ought to have ready when anybody asks us a question? The answer, the reason of the hope that lies within us, we ought to have the answer. There ought to be nobody in the world that beats us in a debate concerning spiritual things. We ought to be able to strip the bark off an atheist in a debate, dry him out, and cut him up for kindling wood. It ought not to be like the Scopes monkey trial. Do you suppose William Jennings Bryan knew his Bible like he should have? Jesus asked them, have you understood all these things? He's asking them a question. Do you think that a good teacher would ask enough questions to be sure that the students really have a grasp of the teaching and really aren't just giving some little pat rote answers that they know that the teacher would expect? Do you think it's devious of the teacher to couch questions in several different ways in order to pry and see what the level of understanding is, perhaps including his own? Is that fair? Of course it's fair. To do anything less would be a disservice and a waste of the learner's time, wouldn't it? Well, we ought not to get together to waste anybody's time. Jesus wasn't wasting anybody's time. I don't know how long we've got to do Sunday school classes, but Jesus knew exactly how long he had to teach these disciples. And so in verse number 51, Jesus saith unto them, have you understood all these things? Well, let's drive to what things he's referring to. All what things? Exactly when to turn the fish on the fire? What things? Have you understood all these things? Which side of the boat to fish on? Yes, he's speaking specifically of his teaching on the kingdom of heaven parables. Have you understood those things? Those particular things, the things that we're talking about right now. Well, they say unto him, yea, Lord. And so therefore, he'll never have to bring this subject up again. The kingdom of heaven parables. Do you understand the kingdom of heaven parables? And they say, oh yes, yes, we understand the kingdom of heaven parables. Would we have any reason to doubt their answer? We certainly have no reason to doubt Jesus' question, but might we have due cause to doubt their answer? Mm-hmm. That's good. Maybe that kind of speaks a little bit to the new wine in the old bottles business. Yes. Indeed. Yes. 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 I'm sure that many of the disciples went back. And what was the last question that they asked of Jesus after he rose from the dead and just before the ascension? So they still didn't have that out of their minds. And by the way, who asked the question? Was it the ones without the ears to hear, the eyes to see? No, it's these disciples are asking him this question. So there's some reason to wonder whether or not they got the full import of it. Do you suppose after the day of Pentecost they were helped in their understanding? They were never the same, were they? And what's the difference? I mean, they'd seen the risen Lord. He was with them betimes for 40 days before his ascension into heaven. And they'd had many conversations, and yet 10 days later, a whole new perspective arises. Of course, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, their teacher and guide, that helped them to understand those things. And do you suppose they were thinking in their minds? I remember when Jesus said that, and I thought I had a grasp of it, but I really didn't. Do you think that we humans are oftentimes like that? We think we understand something, and then the events of history show that maybe we didn't have as good a grasp of it as we thought? So do you think it's a good idea to really stick at things for a good while and cover them from as many angles as we can? And who's really going to teach us? That's right. The teacher is only a tool in the hands of the Lord. That's all he is. A true teacher would tell you, I know nothing of myself. There, I just said it. I know nothing of myself. Everything that I teach, I've been given. And everything that you receive and study and learn on your own, you've been given. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Where's a place for pride in that? Go ahead, Bob. Yes, we never stop learning. We never stop learning. The community college may speak of lifelong learning. Their prices are better than the real lifelong learning. But we are lifelong learners because we're undergoing a process that's called what? Sanctification, and it's a gradual process. And the inner man is strengthened, and the outer man is weakened. How is the inner man strengthened? Yes, he feeds upon the Word of God as the Holy Spirit applies it to our hearts, and we grow stronger on the inside as we grow weaker on the outside. And this is a process that takes our entire lifetime. So, should we study, for example, the doctrine of baptism once, because that's for the new believers class, isn't it? And then we move on and we never mention baptism again because everybody knows that when the preacher yells at the top of his lungs, we Baptists are smarter than anybody else because we baptize in a pool of water and we don't do this sprinkling something out of a salt shaker business on somebody. And call that baptism, and everybody knows that they're supposed to say amen. Amen. But how many Baptists really understand what baptism is? Do you think if a Baptist understood what the doctrine of baptism is in the Scriptures, a Mormon would ever have a chance with him? What's the first thing that that Baptist should ask the Mormon when he starts delivering his load of goods? Yes, which is another way of asking another question. Are you born again? Are you born again? Are you identified with Christ? Is it Christ in you, the hope of glory? Then the Mormon would have to say, no, but I've got this burning in my chest. And Baptists, having a sense of humor, said, stay on the road you're on. It's going to spread. No, we wouldn't say that. Well, we shouldn't say that because they need Jesus. They don't need a burning in their chest. So, that's right. That's right. You know, there are a lot of Baptists that think that baptism is what washes away your sin. After I was saved, I was taught by a Baptist preacher that it's baptism in water that puts you into the church. I was taught that. This guy went to seminary and everything. I'm almost glad now I didn't. Amen? Do you understand these things? Jesus is trying to draw out of them a response where they're thinking about it. He's pointing out to them, this is serious, serious business. You really need to have a grasp of this. And of course, Jesus knows that they didn't understand. He knew all things that were to transpire. He knew about what was going to happen on the road to Emmaus before time ever began. Well, we thought he was the Messiah. And besides all this, it's been 3 days. Slow to understand. What do you think ought to be the attitude of all of us? It ought to be an attitude of humility, and there's so much more to learn. I don't need to quit. Isn't it strange how that there's very few people in the Sunday school class and everybody comes to the morning service where they hear the same thing over and over? Despite my constant admonition, if you're going to come to any service all week long, come to the adult Sunday school class because you'll learn something there. The purpose of the morning service is to offer a venue where people can bring people in so that they can hear a gospel message. Well, if you're born again, it's always good to hear a gospel message. It's a wonderful thing. But what does the Scripture say about spiritual growth? Paul is telling the Hebrews that they needed to do something. Baptisms, laying on of hands, that sort of thing. Didn't he tell the Hebrews it's time for you people to grow up? You're not in the primary department anymore. The time's come when you ought to be teachers. And you have need that somebody has to teach you. You're supposed to be a whole cadre of teachers. You ought to be able to go out into the world and teach them. And what does the Scripture say that we are, so far as our office? Yes, we're ambassadors of Christ. We ought to be able to describe spiritual things to people that never heard such things before. Not just the preacher, not just the so-called pastor, but every Christian. And it takes all of us. How many people are there in this world today? There are a whole lot more than are in this room this morning. There's plenty of fertile ground and a whole lot of spiritual ignorance out there. And it's not all coming from the Lutherans. So Jesus uses a catechism here and asks them if they've understood these things. And you can be sure that he did this over and over. Do you get this? Well, tell me what this means. Tell me what that means. And he wasn't asking for the answer so that he could find out what they thought. He already knew what they thought. It was for their benefit. Verse number 52. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. We're getting down to the wine in the bottles business. But not now. Therefore, every scribe. Why would he have used that term? When you read the term scribe, what do you immediately think of? Okay. In terms of the Synoptic Gospels, what do you think about? Yes, they were a sort of a class of people within the nation of Israel whose business it was to, now you can say it, Bob, to record what? What were the scribes primarily writing down? Yeah, what's another way of saying it? Okay, but what's another way of saying it? What did the scribes actually write so far as the words went? And it wasn't anything that came out of their heads. They were copyists. That's right. They actually produced the copies of the scriptures. They were the ones that prepared the synagogue rolls. So, of course, they were very fluent. They were good writers. They were educated people. But do you suppose that they understood what they were even writing? Were any of the disciples scribes? Does the word scribe invoke a negative context? When you think about the term scribe, oh, that's those rascals that hung out with the Pharisees. And I suppose I could have made it plainer by saying the lawyers, but I didn't want to make it too obvious. They did. But what were their political inclinations? These were not savory characters. Were they accepting of Jesus and the teachings? If they had known what they were copying, would they have been acceptable? If the lawyers knew what was in the scrolls that the scribes had prepared, would they have had a different attitude about the teaching of Jesus? Okay. Don't forget that cynicism has a sin in it. They knew the words, yes. Why does it keep ending up back there? Yes, we're going to see that as we move on, as Jesus moves away from these Mathetes or these disciples and goes back to the larger audience of the children of Israel. Then we're going to see that come out. But we're talking about those that are learners. They actually came and assembled themselves together and sat down in a Sunday school class, taking a precious hour of their time. They're there because they want to be there. What about them? Would they understand, or should they understand? Sure. Jesus is calling them scribes. Isn't that interesting? Do you suppose they would have felt a little insulted to have been likened unto scribes? Maybe a little bit. The scribes had them fooled, and the Pharisees had them fooled. They didn't figure Judas out until after the end. Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. I know some people probably wonder, why would the pastors constantly make mock of the chapter a day to keep the devil away crowd? Do you suppose that they're just mechanically reading something with no comprehension or very limited comprehension just because it was their duty to do it? Well, I think so. I think so. What should be the aim of the teacher? To make sure that their time isn't wasted and that they really are learning something? I think so too. And I think Jesus was doing that very thing. And when does the real test of your knowledge come? On the final exam. That's it. That's when the test of your knowledge comes, when you have to teach somebody else. The best way to learn anything to the most thorough degree possible is to try to teach it to somebody else. Then you'll find out where the holes in your knowledge are. Yes? Yes. Mm-hmm. It becomes very practical. Christianity is very practical. When we try to make it only theoretical, what have we done? We've become scribes and lawyers. They knew all the theory, but they were hypocrites. Okay, in the last several moments, verse number 52, then said he, Jesus, unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto man which is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure. And that word treasure there properly means treasure store or treasure house or granary, repository. So he brings forth out of his repository things new and old. And of course, the things you're bringing out are in themselves treasures. But this is speaking about a treasure trove. A householder has a treasure trove. Some people are wealthy enough, I understand, they install safes in their homes to keep their treasures safe. It's a treasure trove. But they're trying to keep people out. What are we supposed to do with our treasure trove? Open it up and be liberal and pass it out to everyone who will accept it. We're not supposed to hoard it unto ourselves. Now, this touches upon the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I know, when are we going to get to the new wine? There must have been a lot of liberals in those days with all those new wines. What's the problem with the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? What is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? And if you talk fast, you can have your full 15 minutes. There's a separation between clergy and laity, and why is clergy supposed to be so superior and never questioned? Because they have all this knowledge. If you're familiar with secret societies, do they take the person that's the entered apprentice and teach him the pure Luciferian doctrine that Pike speaks of? No, he's got to go through all these stages and he has to prove himself loyal to them before they're given a little bit more and a little bit more. Secret societies are like the layers on an onion. Each layer has to be attacked and penetrated and gone through to the next until finally we arrive at the core. So do you suppose that the Nicolaitans are going to just pass out all this spiritual knowledge to those uninitiated people sitting in the pews, the laity? No. The church ends up operating like a secret society. So instead of opening up the treasure trove and making sure that everybody knows and understands the spiritual truths of the Scripture, they hide it. If you really want to know what's going on, you're going to have to go to seminary. You're going to have to take religious orders. Until you do that, well, you're just the unwashed laity. Is that what Jesus told the disciples to do? No, open that baby up. Everybody needs this. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you this morning that we have your word. And Lord, we just pray that we wouldn't be like so many that would take in all the study of the kingdom of heaven parables and think that it's just something to bring us intellectual pleasure. But Lord, these are practical things that need to be taught to others. Others that don't understand, but would want to understand. And if anyone were there to teach them, they'd receive these spiritual truths with open ears. Lord, help us to be attentive as your ambassadors. In Jesus' name, amen.